We're kind of doing an introduction before we get into a larger series in the Ten Commandments, which we'll read over in Exodus 20, but right now we're in Exodus 19. God is speaking to his people, giving them some instruction. Last week we looked at how God graciously reminded his people what he did for them, and it's good when God does that for us because it puts us in remembrance of his goodness, his mercy, his grace that he's shown us, because we can forget very quickly what God has done for us. I mean, even just this whole last week we just went through, God did quite a bit for us, but everything in its right perspective. If you weren't looking for it, you might have missed it. But if you stop and meditate for a moment and think, God was really good to me this last week, wasn't he? And I'm sure he was good to you too. We saw last week how he bore you, he brought you, and he bought you. And how special was that, that God had to remind them, because he's going somewhere with the message, because ultimately he's going to then let them know, hey, listen, now I'm going to require some things from you. And that's a great way that God gets the attention of his people. He reminded them, and he reminds you and I, hey, listen, I bore your sins. I bore your shame all the way to Calvary. I suffered, bled, and died for you. I took your place. I put on that crown of thorns. I had my hands and my feet pierced and my side poked through. I was the one that was mocked. I was the one that was brutally beat over and over. For you,
amen.
For me.
Right.
He then went on and he reminded them, not only did he bear them, but he brought them. Where did he bring them? He brought them unto the Father. He brings us unto the Father.
Amen.
That through the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have access to God the Father. We have direct access to that throne of grace. There's no middle wall of partition between us. There's no us not being able to enter into the Holy of Holies, because Christ has made the way, amen? And because he has made that way, we can have great confidence in knowing that whatsoever we ask, we receive.
Yes, amen.
We're asking of the Father. We've been reconciled by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about what Christ did for us.
Yes.
And then not only did he bear us and he brought us, but he bought us. Ultimately, that's what took place. There was a transaction that took place whereby when we repent and believe the gospel, we're exchanging our very self, our rights to ourself, and we're yielding it over to God. And in exchange, we get the Spirit of God, which is the purchased possession until the day of redemption, the Bible says. We looked at some of these verses, and we don't need to go back through for time's sake, but we looked at how he said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and so we looked at all that, and all this was, it was all his doing. We had no part in this transaction. We have no part in this salvation except to believe. And now we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. He has sealed the deal. Salvation has now entered us into a covenant relationship with God. And I think we miss that idea. We don't really understand that idea so much as it relates to the Testament. But he is my Savior and my Lord.
Yes.
And I am now his servant and his son. And what a relationship that is that we can experience through the Lord Jesus Christ. But moving on from the people to the precepts, if you remember the message that we're looking at is we're looking at the people, the precepts, and the promises. You see, we understand who these people are. They've been born, they've been brought, and they've been bought. And now because of this, God has some precepts for them. He has some commandments or some rules, as we might say. Let's look here in our text, Exodus 19. And again, we're we're trying to glean spiritual truth for the New Testament believer from an Old Testament passage. We'll just start in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, something to notice in the scriptures that we're going to try to pull out this morning is there in verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye. Now, look down just a couple more words. Then it says, then ye. This is really important. This is what we're going to try to bring out. The whole idea of if ye, then ye. Because again, God's promises are always conditional upon our obedience. If ye, then ye. You see, God has some commandments for his people. He can require some things because we belong to him. He has authority because of ownership. He now requires because of redemption. And really, it's just our reasonable service to yield our life over to him and to fulfill his will. And by the way, his commandments are not grievous. Right. There are things that we can do. God is not going to expect of us to do something that he would not enable us to perform. Yes. He gives us the ability. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. And now he requires of us some things. God did something for us that we could not do of ourselves. He's given us life and joy and peace and blessing and forgiveness of sins. He's going to lead us and guide us. He's going to take care of us. So why shouldn't we just willfully, obediently submit to him? It's difficult, isn't it? Because we have this flesh. And we live in this wicked world, and we have so many things clamoring for our attention and trying to distract us, like the news, just kill that TV, turn that thing off. We'd do so much better without it. You don't get all that nervousness and that frustration let's just get into the Word of God and spend some time with the Lord, or just spend some time meditating upon these things and shut out all the distractions and let God speak to us. Because what he is saying here, he's saying, listen, I have some great promises for you. I have some things for you, but I'm going to require some things of you. And if you want those things, then there's some things that you're going to have to do. You see, salvation works. Now understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we work for salvation, but salvation works. When you have been saved, there are some things that accompany salvation. There is a new life in Christ. There are things that we are now going to perform with the life that we now have. Good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So this isn't a foreign idea to the scriptures that, okay, God, what will thou have me to do? Obey my voice, he says. Obedience, submission to God's authority, doing what he asks. And it's the one thing that he asks all of his children. Just obey my voice. Throughout the scriptures we read, obey my voice, obey my voice. God does not want you or I to reason, to try to calculate. He just wants us to obey his voice. What does the scripture say? Keep your place here in Exodus. We'll refer to it a few times. But go over to Proverbs chapter 3, a very maybe familiar proverb here, verse 5 and 6. You might even be able to quote it, but when we stop for a minute and just break it down and think about it, how God is telling us to lean not unto our own understanding. Why? Because it's going to deceive us. It's going to take us astray. We're going to involve emotions and feelings into it when God just has facts and he has requirements that just need to be fulfilled. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a blessed verse of scripture there. One that you should commit for a life verse, because he doesn't want you to begin to reason and to question why he's asking you to do certain things. He just wants you to obey his voice. He's already shown his great love for us, amen? He's already led us and guided us, and he's taken care of us thus far. He's not going to lead us down the wrong path. He leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, the Bible says. And so therefore, if ye, then ye. When God is going to require of us something which isn't going to be hard, which should be our reasonable service, which we should willfully and joyfully submit ourselves to, let's not begin to start to think why we shouldn't or why it won't work or why it's not possible, because with God all things are possible. What if any of those in the hall of faith over there in Hebrews chapter 11 began thinking, well, I don't think it's going to work like that, God. Them walls of Jericho, how are they going to fall down with us just marching around them all these times and blowing trumpets? And how is Abraham, how am I going to be a father of many nations? And how is the promise going to come through the seed which I'm sacrificing? And what if they just began to question all those things? They didn't. They just obeyed. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah 7, please. Jeremiah 7. Let's look at verse 22 through 24. Jeremiah 7, verse 22 says, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice." Yes. Amen? Isn't that interesting? You stop and think, yeah, in Exodus 19, he wasn't asking any sacrifices. He wasn't asking them to do any real ceremonial, religious observation. He was just asking them to obey his voice. And what does he say? "And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." It's just for our benefit that he's asking these things. But so often the story, verse 24, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Why? Because they were leaning unto their own understanding. They thought that their way was best. They thought that they understood. They thought that they knew what was really going on. But you know what? We really don't know what's going on. And that's why we need his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we obey that voice, that light grows brighter so we understand. 1 Samuel 15. Turn there, please. 1 Samuel 15. So listen, God's not so much interested in your sacrifices as in obeying his voice. And he makes that clear here to Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice. Saul could have been a very great leader. He was a great man, and he was picked of all the people and picked of God. But look, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. If you want to understand the context here, they were fighting against the Amalekites, and God told them to utterly destroy everything. Saul didn't utterly destroy everything. He saved some of the sheep, and he saved some of the oxen. Why? Because he thought, well, we'll go ahead and sacrifice those unto the Lord. But that's not what God wanted. God was very specific. Let's just start here in verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone. He's arguing his position. He thinks he's right when God already made it clear. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen. Now he's trying to blame somebody else, and that's what we do. When he's kind of caught now. The chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. They thought they were going to do some great religious observance, that God would be pleased with that. But you know what? God wasn't going to be pleased with that because his command was specific. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, just be a hearer and be a doer of the word. Hearken and do. Hearken and do. You know what he called it? He called it rebellion. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. God was serious there.
Right.
He took his kingship from him.
Yes.
Let me read a verse of scripture here. No, you know, we'll just move on. So he had to continually remind his people to obey. Amen. And all throughout the scriptures, we see God telling his people, listen, just obey my voice. Just trust me. Just follow me. This is what he required of them. And this is the same that he requires of us. It's just reasonable for us to respond to his voice with obedience because of all that he has done for us. But notice here in the text, as we go back to Exodus 19, he didn't just say, obey my voice. He said, obey my voice. How? Exodus 19?
Indeed.
Indeed. Why add that little word indeed? Well, indeed means truly. Indeed means sincerely. Indeed means heartily. It's real obedience. It's not, you know, could you do the dishes for me to one of the children? I got a few dishwashers at the house. And sometimes when they don't want to, you hear they start clanging those pots and pans while they're doing it, but they're not doing it with a, they're not doing it indeed. In their heart, they're not doing it, you know, but though physically they're doing it because they don't want to, or they're aggravated, or they're mad at the simple request from a loving father who is taking care of them. Just listen, the similarities are there. But we do it all the time. Doing the will of God from the heart, the Bible talks about. Not half-heartedly, but wholly. Not with lip service, as Jesus said, as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart. Jesus said, hey, listen, you draw nigh unto me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. You may say these things, but your actions are proving otherwise. And we do the same thing. God speaks, why? So we can obey.
Right.
Why did God leave us this beautiful treasure?
Right.
So we can know him.
Yes.
And know what he requires of us. And so we can follow him and show our love to him. He wants us to be doers of the word. And we don't have to turn there, but you may be familiar with James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because if we're just hearing and we're not doing, he said we're like a man looking in a mirror, in a glass, and we're beholding ourselves, and we're forgetting who we are. We're not going to be blessed, as it said, in our deed. Why would we be blessed? Because we're doing the work. Because the whole principle, again, is if ye, then ye. If you do this, then you get this. Hey, listen, if you believe, you can be saved. Amen?
Yes.
Titus 1:16 says that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Our works come from our faith. Our faith is acting in obedience with what he says.
Right.
Hebrews 11:6 says what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Yet Jesus said in John 8:29, I do always those things that please the Father. How was Jesus doing those things that please the Father? He was obeying his voice. How do we do those things that please the Father? We obey his voice. It's faith. And faith is acting out in its works. It's obeying the Bible. That's what faith is. Why do we find it so hard? Listen, if you want to please God, obey God. So the question I guess then we need to ask is, are we pleasing God? Are we experiencing the promises of God, the peace of God, the joy from God, the contentment of God? All of those blessings that he offers us. Because they're conditional upon precepts. Obey the precept, obtain the promise. Let us never forget that. Back here in verse 5 in our text, Exodus 19, he said, Now therefore, or because of all this, because of what I've done for you, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, sincerely, truly, wholeheartedly, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be. But if you're not doing this, then ye won't be. He said, obey my voice indeed. The reward will come when we do what's required. We keep his covenant. This is a covenant relationship. The promises are his part. The duty is our part. We just have to fulfill the will of the Father. A covenant means that there were some commandments. He said, keep my covenant there in verse 5. God's voice is God's word. God's word is God's commandments. This relationship that I have with the Father is a covenant relationship, one of obeying his voice by keeping his commandments. Turn with me to John 14, please. John 14. And keeping his commandments shows our love for him. Listen, God doesn't have to show his love for us. He already showed his love for us. He displayed it openly on Calvary. And numerous places in the scripture, it emphasizes God's love for us. And that it's something that was perceived because of what he did. And so therefore, our love for him, if we look at it just the opposite way, is going to be perceived by what we do for him. Well, what can we do for him? Can I just tell him, God, I love you? Or is it more than words? Amen. Is it something that is, because love is what? Love is an action. It's not just a word. What's the word I'm looking for? It's something that moves. It's a force. And so therefore, if I want to show God love, he didn't say, just tell me you love me. He said, obey my voice. John 14, look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, it sounds pretty simple. It may be a little difficult in performance, but it's not something that God would require of us if we were not able to perform. And so therefore, yes, we can keep his commandments. Yes, we can, through the Spirit of God, try to fulfill his will as we learn to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, kind of what he was saying there in Exodus 19. He it is that loveth me, And he that loveth me, now look, here comes a promise, remember? Whenever you find a precept, there'll be a promise. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'll make myself known to him. I'll open myself to him. What a blessed promise. But it's conditional upon a precept, obeying the voice, which is what? Having the commandments and keeping them. Turn to 1 John, please. Just a couple more verses. 1 John. 1 John 5. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. By this, 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. What's the love of God? How do I show my love for God? How will others know that I love God? By keeping his commandments. Where do I find his commandments? Through his word. So I must obey his voice. Let's not say we love God and that we're thankful for all that he's done for us if we can't keep his commandments. It's just lip service then. How it must grieve God to his heart when his children are disobedient. Just like it grieves a father or a mother's heart when our children are disobedient. After all he's done for us. Remember, the point here is that he's requiring of them. And we're using this word require, but it rather should be a response from a reverential heart. It shouldn't even be considered like a requirement. Well, I have to do this. It should just be, I want to do this. That it's not a requirement, that whatever you ask God, yes, sir, I'm going to do it because I love you and I want to show my love for you and I want others to know that I love you. So let's not fail to recognize the blessings that come from Bible obedience. Can we look at just two more verses real quickly in Deuteronomy? Because there's many places that we could turn. I have a list here, but for sake of time, as we just listen to God's heart, Deuteronomy 5, let's start there. What does he say here in 5:29? 5:29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's what he's saying. Yeah. Do you hear? He's just like, oh, that they would just do this, that there was just a heart in them to do this. Because he says, listen, it'll be good for you if you do this. One more place and we'll close. Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Ooh, now he's using the word require. He's saying, listen, here's some commandments. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Why? For thy good. Yes. Amen. It's only for our good that he's sharing all of this with us. And we'd do well, amen, if we would listen, wouldn't we? Yes. And there's many other verses, but we'll stop there for sake of time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you have given us this great covenant that we've entered into, and you offer so many promises. But Lord, as we learn through the scriptures, they're conditioned upon the precepts, conditioned upon our obedience. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to overcome this world and to be victorious through our faith as we respond to your word. And Father, that others would know that we are your children, by our great love for you, seen in our works, in our action. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.